like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Our guest this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. I just thought I'd give you a rundown on what I found so far this morning on the Internet. The stock market was down another 600 points, 630 or 640 points when I checked it this morning. Gold was up $915 an ounce. We are in the midst of a financial crisis unparalleled during my lifetime, and I'm old enough to remember the Great Depression. Of course, I was pretty young during that time, but I remember that my dad made $100 a month, and we lived in a little house, cost $3,000 for the entire house, but it was a nice house, and we lived comfortably, not well, but comfortably. And I can remember the people coming to the door and asking for food, and my mother would always make them a sandwich, and there'd be a little mark on the door, so the next guy coming down the line would know that this was the house that would give you food. But we got through that. But at least we had a gold-backed currency, and we had people in the Supreme Court who believed in America. This was before the Masons took over the Supreme Court and took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's a conspiracy against God. There's a conspiracy against America. The ultimate goal, a new world order, a new world religion, a new world currency, and a new world leader. Well, with that as a background, let's hear what Joel has to say this morning. Good morning, Joel. How are you doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. This isn't truly a crash of the stock market. You're talking about the stock market has recovered. most of those gains, but it's hovering now around a loss of 120 points on the Dow right now, and I'm sure the plunge protection team is trying to engineer some kind of a rally on this. But
Because that's the working group on financial matters, the work group on financial markets, and its job is to manipulate the stock market, and people have to understand everything is artificial.
Well, that's right, except, this downward trend is really real in the sense that people are bailing out all over the place. But obviously there's manipulation at various stages, and when the manipulators are right inside the stock exchange and have access to unlimited federal funds, you just can't tell what's real.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of illegal manipulation going on, and this is a problem. It's been unreal for many years. We've never known who the real players are. I mean, they even covered up the insiders who shorted the airline stocks, who had prior knowledge of 9/11, and the stock market covered that up. They, of course, knew, and they claimed they didn't know and couldn't find out that the records had somehow disappeared. And they were their records. They were their computers. Who do we believe? In any case, my major issue today on the World Affairs Brief is that the federal bailout is turning into a license to plunder. The same insider financiers who brought this world to the brink of financial collapse are now gobbling up the remaining sound assets of failing banks under the guise of saving the system. You know, when the Congress gave unrestricted power to Treasury Secretary Paulson to decide arbitrarily whose debt the U.S. government would rescue and who they would not, Congress unwittingly had given him the power to decide which banks survive and which ones will be allowed to fail. And, of course, Paulson remarked this week that additional banks will fail. There's really not any reason for that. He's got enough money available that he could buy out the toxic debt of Fannie Mae just sufficiently to keep them floating, keep them alive, and he isn't. He's giving most of the money, of course, to favored banks so that they have the liquidity to buy out the banks that he's allowing to fail. And so the FDIC, of course, is complicit in this as they seize banks that the government failed to rescue and then conveniently designate another favored bank to come in and rescue the bank instead of allowing the open market to freely bid on the remaining sound assets. The result, of course, is a massive shift in ownership of remaining good debt from the failed bank stockholders to the insider-connected banks. And it's just like Bill Butler wrote this week on LouRockwell.com, that in the case of Washington Mutual, the FDIC seized Washington Mutual, forced the transfer of $307 billion in assets. Only $34 billion were non-performing loans. Gave that over to J.P. Morgan for a mere $1.9 billion. I mean, that's a giveaway of approximately $280 billion in good assets to J.P. Morgan. Obviously, J.P. Morgan Chase is a favorite insider bank. And now, Wachovia, you know, was intended to go to Citibank, but Wells Fargo came in and essentially outbid them and got Wachovia to accept a better deal. And I'm not sure yet what the insider dealings are about that, but I know there was some legal wrangling, and Wells Fargo eventually has won over that. But it's no question the FDIC had its hand in facilitating these deals, and, you know, it was kind of a gun-to-the-head transaction where Washington Mutual had no say in the matter. In fact, a poor group of investors that invested $7 billion in Washington Mutual 6 months ago in an attempted rescue attempt lost everything of their equity. I mean, boy, there are some real winners and losers in this process.
And the trouble is they determine who the winners are and they determine who the losers are. And so many of the people invested in, you know, in these various banks and financial institutions are just losing everything. But they'll decide if they're going to protect the bondholders or just let the bondholders go down. And but in certain instances, when it's foreign bondholders like the Chinese communists, then, of course, we immediately rush to the rescue. So the Chinese and the Saudi Arabians aren't hurt, but the Americans, of course, are just wiped out their whole. Many of these people have lost, you know, everything they've saved for all during their lives. And unfortunately, they put all their eggs in one basket, and a big boot came along and just crushed the basket.
Yes, well, you know, there's a in the derivatives market, which is the big thing today that we'll be watching, this auction for Lehman Brothers derivatives. It's important to realize that this is, in fact, a major gambling scenario, which will be a zero-sum difference, however it works out, to the economy, because there are all these derivatives, which are insurance policies, been written against the default of Lehman Brothers and other banks and the mortgage-backed securities which they hold. And whoever the winners are will simply deposit the money back in the bank with no real net loss there.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Here's what John McCain says about his health care plan.
Let's give every American family a $5,000 refundable tax credit.
But here's what McCain's not telling you. He'd make you pay income taxes on your health benefits, taxing health insurance for the first time ever. The $5,000 tax credit, McCain's own website says it goes straight to the insurance companies, not to you, leaving you on your own to pay McCain's health insurance tax. And that's not all. McCain's tax will drive up costs, causing employers to drop coverage. Experts say 20 million could lose their insurance. We just can't afford John McCain.
Barack Obama's plan, strengthen employer-based coverage by reducing costs, cover pre-existing conditions, and recruit doctors and nurses to serve in small towns and rural communities. Read his plan at barackobama.com.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Do you want to improve your skin's appearance but don't have the foggiest clue what you need or even what's available? Are you confused about the technical lingo surrounding beauty treatments? You've got fractionals, laser peels, IPLs, CO2s, photofacials. Confused yet? You're not alone. Most people are. That's why we at Radiant Clinic have put together a list of questions you need to ask before you buy any non-surgical cosmetic treatments. Call us at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free questionnaire or visit our website at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about this week's derivative crash. The auction was supposed to take place on Thursday, apparently did not, and is going to take place today. It's the major liquidation of Lehman Brothers credit default swaps, the bulk of derivatives assets owned by the failed investment bank. What they will sell for at auction will send shockwaves throughout the 50 to 70 trillion estimated derivatives bubble. But essentially, you know, this really dwarfs even the stock market gyrations, which are, of course, down the most they've been for many, many years. I think General Motors stock had gone down to $4.75 yesterday, which equivalent to the same price you could have bought it in 1950, which adjusted for today's dollars means it's really down there about $2 and something a share. But it doesn't look like General Motors is going to survive this. They've been having an outflow of $15 billion a quarter, trying to keep that company afloat, and they just don't have that much cash left, especially with this kind of a stock market crash. People are not going to go out and buy anything. It's really going to put a freeze on consumer spending. When this auction takes place on Lehman Brothers derivatives, we're going to see just how much they're worth. Either banks are going to be reassured if it's a higher than normal price that is paid. You know, and you can't really compare this to the Fannie and Freddie derivatives, which were sold on the market, because these were based upon mortgage debt, which was mostly not subprime mortgages, and the guarantees. And so the guarantees generally are looked upon to stand, and they got about 95% of the value when they sold these credit default swap derivatives. Once again, for your listeners, these were insurance policies that were written for people to guarantee debt that they bought in packages, and people like Lehman Brothers had written some $400 billion almost $700 billion, almost $1 trillion in insurance policies on these that these bond packages would not default, and of course they are defaulting, and so they're having to pay out. They don't even have to be owners of these defaults. They can make insurance bets on things they don't even own, and that's what built this into such a massive empire. And but apparently the Lehman derivatives are some of the worst and most toxic of them, and they're only expecting at auction to bring, 5 to 10 cents on the dollar. And so essentially these insurance companies like AIG and like Lehman Brothers, which is bankrupt, were liable to pay out the full amount of the policy. So the ones, of course, who lost are the ones who paid the premiums for these policies and are not going to get this insurance back, and part of this bailout of AIG and or even part of the bankruptcy of Lehman's, in fact, was to avoid having to pay out these policies because they're null and void, essentially, in the default, other than their residual value. Once you declare bankruptcy, they're no longer obligated to pay out those policies. And that's one of the reasons why they let Lehman Brothers fail, so they wouldn't have to pay out these derivative policies. And that's one of the reasons for the Paulson bailout, is so that the remaining companies, like Goldman Sachs, his own company, can avoid having to pay out, because the policies essentially won't default if the government buys them up and keeps them from defaulting. So this is really a bailout of the major, and this has nothing to do with bailing out Main Street or the ordinary person.
In other words, they just lied to the American people. Oh, this is for Main Street. This isn't for Wall Street. And anybody who believes that has to be incredibly stupid.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk in Congress, of course, about it, underegulating the financial markets. Of course, more regulation does nothing in and of itself. Regulation isn't a virtue in and of itself. It needs to be understood that there's good regulation and bad regulation. Good regulation puts tight legal language, or implements tight legal language, on general statutes against fraud and misrepresentation so that corrupt entities can't utilize loopholes created by the general language of law. And, you know, in this case, Paul Craig Roberts points out that there's an interesting history of the actual regulation. When you look back on it, you can see that you had insiders in the SEC agreeing with other insiders who came before them, including one Hank Paulson, who represented his own firm, and got the SEC to change, some very important rules. This happened in 2004, blaming this, of course, on the Reagan era, and he's protesting that. He was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury during the Reagan era. But in 2004, Hank Paulson of Goldman Sachs appeared before the Securities and Exchange Commission at that meeting with the New Deal regulatory agency. He convinced them to exempt investment banks like himself from maintaining any reserves at all to cover losses on investments. I mean, this is just incredible. You require banks to have reserves, but they were convinced that everything was at risk. Investors knew that this was highly risky stuff, and they weren't responsible for keeping any reserves. And naturally, this exemption allowed the investment banks to leverage financial instruments beyond any bounds of prudence. And I believe, for example, that in order to curtail speculation, I mean, you need to allow people to short the markets. But the problem is when you do it on extreme margins, and what's really happening out there within the insider world is that you have something called naked shorting, which is where you're supposed to borrow the stock, and then on the basis you've got to give back the stock, you hope to have sold that stock and bought it cheaper and then give back the shares and pocket the difference in the money. That's what shorting's all about. But certain insiders are allowed to not even have to borrow the stock. They simply place a bet on stocks to go down as if they had stock in their pocket to sell. They sell stock that they don't even possess, and then they buy other stock and pocket the difference. And of course, only insiders are allowed to do this. This has always been illegal, except for a few insiders, and it's just like working in the stock exchange after the stock exchange closes. I mean, you and I can't do anything in the stock market during the after closing hours, but certainly the insiders can, and that's why the market closed at the opening bell, or opened at the opening bell some nearly 600 points lower, because other people had shorted the market in order to make a profit, and sure enough, it popped right back up, and I'm sure they had positions that allowed them to profit on the way back up as well. But only insiders can do that.
Sure, and Mr. Paulson made half a billion dollars, you know, there when he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs. And he doesn't represent the American people. He represents Goldman Sachs there as the Secretary of the Treasury. And, of course, he's just bailing out his friends. And, of course, this is going to have a devastating effect because down the line, it's going to be terribly inflationary. Maybe not initially, but eventually, of course, we're going to be in terrible straits financially, and I believe most people are going to lose almost everything they've spent their whole life working for.
Well, one of the things that's keeping the dollar as strong as it is, of course, is that the other currencies and the other banking systems around the world are in just as bad a straits or worse, believe it or not, than the U.S. system. And they don't have the size and amount of dollars over there to inflate like the U.S. Does, and so they're restricted by many things that isn't happening here. But that's the reason why the dollar isn't in free fall. In fact, it's even risen against certain currencies despite all of this bailout fever just because of the confidence and the power of the Fed to continue these bailouts. I was quite amused at one of the pundits who made a big thing about, I want to know who John McCain or Barack Obama is going to choose as the next Secretary of the Treasury. Well, I don't think it makes any difference what they say or who they say they're going to pick. I can guarantee you that every Secretary of the Treasury will be, as you point out, a financial insider associated with a major Wall Street investment firm. And almost always they're part of the plunge protection team, which has insider knowledge about where the manipulators are going to take these markets. And so, of course, when you had the lack of reserve requirements, you know, you had places like Bear Stearns who pushed their leverage ratio up to 33 to 1 for every dollar in equity in their investments. They had $33 of debt. And that's a recipe for disaster. It's no wonder that Bear Stearns went down. And they used a lot of computer modeling, which led to the, to value these debts. And they used that computer modeling to sell these debts to other people around the world. We skirted a major financial crisis in 1998 with long-term capital management. It was bailed out, too big to fail. And, of course, right after that, here we are in year 2000 when the SEC went along with Paulson and set aside capital requirements. I mean, this is not inexplicable at all, as Robert says, except if you know full well that the SEC is a rigged game and it's not really there to assure solidity and compliance in the marketplace with fair regulation. It is there to make sure that there are loopholes carved out for the big boys to make a lot of bucks. And, of course, some of the blame for all of this current mortgage problem goes back to the pressure the U.S. government put on banks to lend to unqualified borrowers, requiring minority quotas, for example. It was the federal government that forced or enticed financial institutions to abandon prudent behavior. However, those breaches of prudence, said Roberts, only affected the earnings of individual institutions. They didn't threaten the whole financial system. That threat and that crisis has to be laid at the feet of the fact that the Fed inappropriately put out low interest rates, which created this boom. They inappropriately allowed for the securitization and marketing upstream without any reserves of all of these toxic subprime mortgages. And so now the problem is that with these bailouts comes the fact that this inflation is permanent within the economy now and housing will not go down as far as it should, back to the levels of affordability. I mean, it's nowhere near collapsing like the stock market is collapsing. And this was a true bubble in the stock market. I mean, there's no reason for any of these companies really to be this high. The earnings to equity ratio were extremely high, and they're coming down to more realistic limits. But everybody's calling it a crash. But, in fact, it's the market coming down to true fundamentals. And people should be accommodating to that. It makes stocks and equities more valuable. Sure, supposedly lost $1 trillion of value, but these values are part of the speculative economy, not the real economy. In fact, that money has already been invested in GM. You know, the people who bought that stock, that money's there. They've lost value in terms of the ability to take value out of the company, but the value to the company has already been invested, so it's not lost. And the same thing with the mortgage debt on the houses. The houses are already built. The value is there. That's infrastructure right now that's in the country. The result was, of course, we had inflation-plated prices. But if we were allowed to deflate the economy, then you would have all that value in the economy, and the prices would come back to normal, and you'd have the best of the both worlds. But nobody wanted to take the pain of allowing the economy to get back to reality. And so all of this is because of fiat money, you know, of unreal money, the ability to create money out of thin air. Everybody's applauding the fact that the Fed has this ability. But as Ron Paul clearly points out, this is the problem, not the solution.
And isn't it interesting, you know, when you hear Obama and McCain talking, neither one of them talk about the real problem, which is the Federal Reserve System and the ability to create money out of nothing and wealth out of nothing. And eventually, of course, the whole structure comes cascading down, which is what it's doing right now. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here.
Years I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Millions of women have been misdiagnosed and been given dangerous prescription drugs. In reality, they're simply suffering from hormone imbalance. Stress, environmental chemicals, poor nutrition, and age all can affect your hormones. Do you have hormone deficiency? Find out with our simple self-test that will help you determine if your hormones are suboptimal. Call Radian Clinic at 970-278-0900 for your free test or visit our website at RadianClinicColorado.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, would you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to subscribe to your publication?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service that I put out to a subscriber base. There's a modest subscription fee for this, and people can view the World Affairs Brief online at worldaffairsbrief.com. They can also get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget how to do that, they can go to the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and read the summary of the current brief, and it tells them right there at the end of the summary how to order a free sample copy. Lots of other free things on the website, including a daily rundown of all the top stories. Got a great research staff, which publishes the best of the conventional news stories, so I pre-filter and pre-screen those. I know that saves you some effort every day, Dr. Stan. And I encourage people to go to World Affairs Brief to check on the best stories each day. Lots of archival material about government cover-ups as well. So that's a brief rundown on the services of World Affairs Brief.
And it's a great site. I appreciate it. I go there every morning. Anyway, let's get back to what's going on today, because I think this is going to impact on everybody out there in the listening audience and those people who've taken measures to protect themselves or in good shape, but an awful lot of people keeping the money in the stock market thinking, well, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. And I think that is a vain hope. But go right ahead.
Well, eventually it will, because of the inflation of the dollar, you know, the prices will come up again as the dollar becomes more worthless. But that doesn't mean the value is coming back, to which I agree with you. The values really need to be down there at a more reasonable level. And one of the reasons why we've had these deflated economic bubbles is because the investing public is much more savvy than normal people. They understand that real inflation is not 3%, as the government is pretending, and they want more bang for the buck. And that's why they're investing in speculative investors, churning money rather than investing in the real economy. In my estimation, the speculative economy is dwarfs the real economy by 70-40 ratio, and so that most of the damage done to the speculative economy is the excess money that has been built into excess wealth compensation that isn't being productively invested in the economy. It used to be that, of course, and still is, of course, that all productive investment comes from excess funds that people gain from profits of legitimate enterprises and savings. But now those profits really only represent a small portion that are invested in the economy, and when there are these great gambling enterprises and speculation, that's what's drawing most of the money, and it's not particularly productive. So when that portion of the economy, the speculative economy, collapses, it doesn't directly affect, except over the long term, it means that people have less money to buy and expensive things. But generally, even these people, I mean, you take these executives who walked away and lost their jobs from Lehman Brothers, they've still walked away with millions. These people have not been hurt by this. They may be out of work, but they've still got millions and millions of dollars. Probably some of that money is being lost in the stock market as we speak, but that still means they've got plenty of money to work with and pay their expenses. What's really going to be a problem, of course, is that the real economy is declining as people now get a panicky feeling. You know, the scare tactics of the Bush administration to pass this bailout bill has worked all too well. People are not buying cars. People are not buying new houses unless they absolutely need to. And even then, it's very difficult to get loans. Banks are not lending to banks, and people are not spending. So the velocity of money is decreasing, and that means that everybody's jobs become more and more at risk as the economy winds down, and regular businesses who normally would be profitable now are not going to be as profitable. Major corporations, retail stores who depend on a high volume are having those profits decrease significantly, and a lot of them have a lot of fat built into their overhead, their executive compensation, because they're used to a high volume and they're having to lay people off. And a lot of those high dollar people, the financial services industry and the mortgage industry and even retail are starting to not be able to make their payments. And it's very interesting. I got a letter in the mail from HUD, Housing and Urban Development, in saying that I qualify for homeowner assistance. You have been determined by your tax records that you qualify. They say this homeowner assistance is available to both low-income and high-income households. If you're having trouble making your mortgage payments, contact Housing. So this is their response to the bailout bill, where they're moving fast in terms of offering assistance, and I don't know what that's going to entail. I'll probably have to send it in just to find out, but, I certainly don't need any assistance. I don't have any debt, and so it's wondering but it's kind of a freebie offer. Everybody's available, and so they're inviting everyone to come to feed at the federal trough.
It's wonderful to have a government that wants to provide everybody with money. It's sort of like this $160 billion they dispersed earlier this year. You know, so many people got a check trying to stimulate the economy, just pouring the money out, money they didn't have that becomes part of the national debt. But they don't have the money to put out. They don't have the money for their $850 billion bailout or the money that they've given to the central banks. It's all artificially created. And eventually, the chickens are coming home to roost. There will be down the line the destruction, progressive destruction of the value of our currency.
Well, and that is directly inflationary. Anything that you pump right into the hands of the consumers and they go out and spell, that's why prices rose so high. And I mean, inflation was running well above 10% in the latter part of June and July, specifically because of the effects of this $180 billion injection into the economy. And so the Democratic opposition wanted to have lots more direct perks to the consumer is directly and quickly inflationary. The other bailout takes a longer term, as I explained, because most of that's going to fill in the black hole of money that's been lost in the speculative economy. It doesn't. A lot of it fills up bank reserves, and it's not until the banks themselves actually start to have excess of funds of those reserves and start to loan again that it becomes inflationary. But one of the great dangers of what we're facing here is the arbitrary ability of the Fed and the Treasury to change the rules in midstream, rules that others have already made investment decisions upon. And this essentially causes people a great deal of financial damage. You know, one of the things, as an example, is the SEC restricting short selling that targeted only certain favored investment banks. It was clearly a move to make sure that the normal investors and hedge funds couldn't short sell the firms that were at risk from these big derivatives crash. Then they broadened the ban to some 800 financial firms, so it wouldn't appear as if they were playing favorites too much. But this also had a perverse effect in distorting hedge fund business, which is a legitimate business to try to hedge with counter risk for market declines and bull markets. Of course, they go long on the markets and they're able to make money in a counter cyclical way.
Will you hang on there? We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skelton.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Why is the MRS-2000 different from the usual magnetic therapies? Magnetic resonance simulation has sawtooth pulsating frequencies, increasing cell oxygenation, improving metabolism, relaxing muscles, and eliminating pain while raising cellular energy so the body can heal itself. It's simple, it's effective, and it's for the entire family. Call Sherry Beitzel at Inside Out Therapies, 970-402-7174. That's 970-402-7174. Or go to www.mediconsult.tv.
Here's what John McCain says about his health care plan.
Let's give every American family a $5,000 refundable tax credit.
But here's what McCain's not telling you. He'd make you pay income taxes on your health benefits, taxing health insurance for the first time ever. The $5,000 tax credit, McCain's own website says it goes straight to the insurance companies, not to you, leaving you on your own to pay McCain's health insurance tax. And that's not all. McCain's tax will drive up costs, causing employers to drop coverage. Experts say 20 million could lose their insurance. We just can't afford John McCain.
Barack Obama's plan, strengthen employer-based coverage by reducing costs, cover pre-existing conditions, and recruit doctors and nurses to serve in small towns and rural communities. Read his plan at barackobama.com.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network in the last segment of our program this morning. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, as I say, these real changes in midstream can really be a devastating thing. I covered last week the FDIC arbitrarily deciding not to cover in their insurance of failed banks, Washington Mutual, certain CDs that had originated outside the bank. This is just illegal, but when government has all power, it's just very difficult. One of the problems that exacerbated and started this stock market on the downward slump was these hedge fund managers who were facing huge redemption demands from clients who wanted their cash out because hedge funds couldn't perform their duties due to the restrictions on short selling. They'd been given that power back, incidentally, to short sell, and that's one of the reasons why the market's going down so fast. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. Another interesting point is, why is the Fed now concentrating on commercial paper over toxic debt? You know, they simply don't have enough money to bail out both the toxic debt and all the commercial paper markets. But commercial paper is something that was much more immediate liquidity problem. Essentially, commercial paper is short-term debt issued by corporations, finance company, and banks to try to raise funds from buyers so that they can fund payroll if they're a little short on their cash flow, or investments in new plant and equipment, such as putting out a new vehicle in car companies. And these commercial paper really are only something that can be sold by companies who have a very strong balance sheet. And one might ask, how come they've got such a strong balance sheet if, in fact, that they're having to go and borrow to make payroll? Well, these are supposedly only be short-term shortages, not long-term, and they also have lines of credit at banks. But since those lines of credit at banks have been dried up, they've depended more and more on commercial paper. And the term for commercial paper, which used to be 60, 90, and 30 days, has now dropped to even one day. In other words, people are only willing to lend for one day for a shortfall. And that's why the Fed had to step in, because much of these businesses, including airlines, and, you know, simply can't operate without being able to sell commercial paper on a very short-term basis. Now, banks got into this as well as a way to boost their ability to loan money, and so they're also trying to boost the bank's ability to loan by getting in the commercial paper market. But this could potentially take, 500 to $600 billion initially, and it's going to dwarf the bailout package already. So it's no wonder that Nancy Pelosi and others are counting on another bailout. And talking about another bailout is going to be, and I just don't think it's going to end. I mean, and clearly they've established a precedent here, not only a precedent for power, which is unconstitutional, but a precedent and an expectation among the people that everybody's going to get bailed out. And they certainly won't be able to say no to the public. There'll be outrage in the streets if they bailed out Wall Street. And when this economy starts to really crumble and hurt the little guy, if they fail to bail out every one of us. So it's gained some unreal expectations that can only end up in being extreme inflation in the end.
And, of course, I think most people don't understand that most of our big corporations run on debt. They borrow money to pay their salaries and all their expenses and cost reduction. And then, of course, they get the money in and they pay the bank back. But so much of it's run on debt, just as our farmers has to go out and borrow money, you know, so he can plant his crops, get his fertilizer, and to get the seed, and then at the end of the year he pays it back. But what happens if suddenly there isn't the money there available? And then, of course, industry, farming, everything begins to grind to a stop. At one time we used to have money, we would spend it and make money. But now it's all debt, all centered on the banks and the financial institutions. Everything's been transformed, and Of course, it works fine until we get into a situation like we're in today.
Yes, it has been the habit of business to go further out into the future in terms of paying their debts and their receivables. I remember when I used to first start dealing with Amazon.com and the sale of my books, that they weren't expected to pay you for some 90 days after you had shipped the books. And, you know, that really put somebody at risk. But if you wanted to deal with Amazon, that's what you had to deal with. And now they're much better. They pay every 2 weeks now, and because the market is demanding and doesn't trust people, you know, to be out that long. And so they've had to adapt to the marketplace. But in any case, you know, everything from just-in-time inventory, all of that does not allow for long-term problems within the economy where you need to stockpile inventories. The trouble is with part of the free market is that it doesn't perceive long-term threats very well because there is a tug-of-war in the free market between short-term advantage in the marketplace and long-term safety. And you simply can't compete, for example, holding large inventories, which cuts your profit margin against corporations that are doing just-in-time inventory, until, of course, you've got a crisis and they can't get their just-in-time. But, you know, sometimes that can be, in periods of artificial illusions of prosperity, can be 20 years in the making before that crisis comes and pays off for having held inventory. In the meantime, you're losing money.
Sure.
So you see, sometimes the free market penalizes preparation, and people have to use their mind and their wisdom to foresee long-term threats. And it's very difficult for humans to do that. They only want to see the short term.
Well, we're entering a very, very difficult economic period. We've got about a minute and a half for you to wrap up here, Joel.
Well, one thing that I want to point out is now that the rest of the world's economy is also unraveling, but it's being used as an excuse to push the European Union into a more consolidated power structure. They're complaining at the financial level that they don't have the tools that the U.S. has to fight their problems because they don't have a central bank that covers everything. Well, they do have a European Central Bank. But, of course, you've got a separate country, England, which isn't a part of the euro. They have their own central bank. And the Central Bank of Europe really is divided into a German central bank and a French portion of that. And they can essentially have some independence to do what they want. It's been very difficult to get them together on these coordinated moves. And so they're having real problems, but they're going to lose their independence over this crisis, I'm afraid.
I'm afraid you're right. Anyway, God bless. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Stan.
Our guest has been Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. You can go onto his website. I do every morning. We'll be right back.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
the Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network. And, of course, I hope you enjoyed our program with Joel. I think that everybody in our listening audience, I hope, has taken our advice through the years and prepared for the difficult times that we're facing now. Well, I certainly need to remind you, we are having our all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 26th of October, and we're bringing in Dr. Russell Blaylock to talk on medicine, Joanna Michelson to talk about the supernatural. We're going to have, of course, Pat Woods going to be talking about what's happening financially, and Michael Shaw will be there. I'll be speaking. It's all-day conference. Doors are going to open 7:45 in the morning. We'll go through till about 5:30 in the afternoon. We've done this in the past. People have come, have really enjoyed the conference. We will serve lunch. You're going to have reservations. So if you can come, and let me tell you that North Shore of Monterey Bay is a beautiful time this year. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to need to know what to do to be able to survive the difficult times that lie ahead. And believe me, we are all going to be hurt by what's going to happen, but it may be the best thing that ever happened to America, because people are going to begin to ask, how did this happen? They're going to be angry because they're losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, they're losing their car, they're losing their savings, they're losing their pensions, and they're going to want to know why, and you've got to be able to tell them why. And soon you need to hear our talk on the financial tsunami. We gave it a couple of years ago, but all the things we talk about are coming to pass today. And there's a syllabus that goes with that, and our talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a secret. There are supernatural forces out there, and some people have tapped into them and gotten great wealth and fame and fortune, but you don't want to do that because you have to understand the source of that hidden power. So that's the forbidden secret, the syllabus that goes with that, will help you to understand many of the speeches that have been given by President Bush as he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. What in heaven's name is he talking about? Or the ancient plan of the ages, the plan of the ages that's being fulfilled. When our forefathers declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. He said, what is ancient hope that our forefathers were acting on? Understand that there are secret societies, and President Bush comes from one of them. And when asked by Tim Russert about that Skull and Bones, he said, it's so secret, we can't discuss it. It's so secret, we can't discuss it. And it's John Kerry that said the same thing. And you had two members of this small little clique of elitists running against one another for the presidency in 2004. And nobody thought that was unusual, but most folks didn't even know about it. Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, understand about the secret societies and semi-secret societies, and how they're all motivated by exactly the same supernatural spiritual force. If you haven't read Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, and you need to get it now. It's inexpensive, easy to read, and it'll change your life. You'll get the DVD, of course, or the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. You can read our letters there. You can pull them down and copy them. You can certainly watch our DVDs for free. Listen to our programs for nothing. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision protection. And so until Monday at the same time.